In the gospel today, Jesus is setting up a problem for those who hear him. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Huge crowds are gathered around him. And he says to them, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. This is huge. So Jesus is saying, there's a life and death thing here before you. There's something of eternity that's at stake. And unless your righteousness goes beyond the scribes or the Pharisees, heaven will not be opened to you. And of course, what we know that the crowd is thinking of is, well, we know the way that the Pharisees live. They sought to go to the extreme in terms of their external observance of things. So remember the parable that Jesus tells of the tax collector and the Pharisee who go to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee lets God know all of the great things that he's doing, going beyond what other people would do. Lord, I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on everything, like even the stuff that I could leave out of that, I pay tithes on it. At the end of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus talks about the Pharisees who are so concerned about observing the externals that they even pay tithes on the herbs in their garden. Like the law of Moses said, out of your crops, give your first fruits, the best you've got, to the Lord. And they said, well, you know what? We're even going to pay tithes on dill and mint and cumin in our garden. Like the little tiniest of things. So the people who are hearing Jesus here, like, you imagine what they must have been thinking. How do we surpass that? Like, these are the professionals. This is what they do for a living. I've got a family to raise. I've got a job to do. How do I surpass that? Because they're probably thinking initially in terms of just quantity. If they fast twice a week, how do I fast three times a week? So he sets up a problem that I think is meant, upon hearing it, to shake them up a little bit in order to draw them in. Could he really mean that we've got to go beyond the Pharisees in terms of just the quantity? So with their attention then, drawn to him, he lets them know what he really means. How do you surpass them in righteousness? It's not going to be a matter of simply doing more of what the Pharisees do. It's not quantity, but rather, he says, it's the quality by which you live this stuff out. I don't want you to do more of it. I want you to do it better and deeper. So he says to them, it's a matter of the heart. That's what your Heavenly Father's looking for. So he says, you've heard it said that you shall not kill. But I say to you, don't look only at the externals. Don't be satisfied only if you haven't killed somebody. Look at your heart. And if you know that you've been angry in your heart with your brother, I tell you, you are already liable to judgment. The same judgment that Moses talked about if you killed someone. I say, if you're bearing anger in your heart towards your brother, you've already broken the commandment. You've already failed in loving him. Spouses, if you're only worried about whether or not physically you've been unfaithful to your spouse, forget that, he says. What I want you to do is look at your heart and ask yourself, have I been utterly, completely faithful to my spouse, even in my heart? Or, as Jesus says, if I've already looked with lust at someone, I've already broken the commandment. So this is what the Lord is wanting us to look at and get fixed on. So he's telling us, do not live only according to the minimum of the law. I didn't make you for that. The Pharisees and the scribes were content looking only at the externals. Jesus says, you were made for so much more than just that. I want you to look deep, and I want you to put your hearts into this stuff. I mean, that's really what he's saying here. I want you to put your heart into it. And so, again, like in terms of how you love your spouse, it's a matter of looking deep in your heart and striving to fulfill your vows, not just in the externals, but from your heart, in terms of loving your neighbor and your coworker. Like if there's someone that drives you crazy there, it's not enough to say, well, Lord, at least I haven't killed him yet. Like that's not enough. What the Lord is saying to us is, you need to strive for faithfulness to your spouse from your heart. In your prayer, it's not enough just to say your prayers. Like before you go to bed, oh, I got to say my prayers. It's not enough. That's externals. But speak to God from your heart. Like put your heart into this. You are the one soul creature on the entire face of the earth that was made to be able to talk to God heart to heart. So do it. Don't be content just saying prayers. You know, you can say prayers to a wall, but talk to God from your heart. You know, like here at Mass, I'm so tired over the years of people saying, asking the question, Father, how late can I get to Mass and still have it count? Or the other side, you know, I every Sunday I see it like receiving communion with everything already packed up from the pew and going right out the door. And some of you might say, yeah, but I got my communion. It counts because I got my communion. Like, is that all this is about? Like, put your heart into it. This is not just about making it count in externals. It's about a heart made for God that's made to be just poured out and invested into the way that we love God and love neighbor. That's what the Lord is getting at here. This is big, big stuff. And it really is stuff that's kind of, it's pointing us all the way out to eternity. It's stuff that really leads to be able to live life fully the way that the Lord made us to live. It strikes into all the areas of our life. In this gospel here, this is not just about a reminder to simply fulfill the law. This is about living life passionately, putting our heart into everything that we do. You know, imagine you're talking to a friend that you haven't seen for a while, and you catch up with them, and you ask, like, what are you doing these days? Like, what kind of work are you doing? Oh, I work in so-and-so, you know, such a place, but my heart's really not in it. How many of you are happy for your friend when you hear them say, this is what I'm doing for 40 or 50 or 60 hours out of my week, but my heart really isn't in it? There's something sad there, isn't there? Like, who wants to do that? Who wants to just go through the motions? In this part of the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord is calling us in the whole of the way that we live our life to not just go through the motions, but to really put our heart into all of the ways that we love God and love our neighbor. That's what allows us to surpass the scribes and the Pharisees in their righteousness. We have a lot of funerals here at the parish. We've got lots of anointings. This past week, 2 weeks, was one of those stretches where just it seemed like it just almost, it wasn't every day, but it felt like almost every day in the middle of the day in terms of stuff going on, a call would come in to go out to one of the assisted living facilities, to run up to the hospice facility, to anoint those who are near death. And of course, when you have that going on, then it spills over into a lot of funerals. On Friday, I was down at the Veteran Cemetery in Crownsville for a burial. And, you know, the way that it works, you offer the final prayers in the chapel, and then the cemetery staff, they do the interment. You don't do it all at the graveside like you would at a private cemetery. So I'm there at the cemetery, things finish up in the chapel, and before the body was even moved out of the chapel, the family was out the door and into their cars. And so I stayed there just to accompany the casket from the chapel back to the hearse so that the cemetery staff and the funeral directors could move to the burial site. And as they're moving the body into the hearse, you know, Friday, it was a cold day, and the wind was whipping up. I'm standing outside the chapel, and all the flags there are at half-mast, and the wind is beating on the flags, and you know that sound that the cords, the ropes make as they bang against the metal of the pole? Like, it's an absolutely unique sound. You know what that sounds like. So I'm there, and it's a little bit later in the afternoon, and it just strikes me in this kind of stark setting of the cemetery, this is what everyone's life is moving toward. I mean, this is it for all of us. I mean, every single one of us is going to come to this moment when our life is going to end. And that moment there, just where the Lord kind of just punctured my thoughts of the day with this just little reminder of Eric, this is eternity here, like your life on earth is going to end. It connected me with something I had heard. There's an evangelical preacher down in Dallas, T.D. Jakes. He's an African-American preacher. He's got this big, booming voice. And he had shared this in one of his messages. And I was thinking about it, going back again to what our reading started with today. This is life and death stuff before us. He said this. He said, some people have never thrown their whole self at anything, not at school, not at work, not at marriage, not at church. Oh my God, you've had one foot in and one foot out of every dream in your life, and you've never seen what you could be if you really connected and threw everything. And that's what's going to make your death so sad. That's what's going to make it so sad, that you never lived first. And when I was at Crownsville, like, that kind of thought ran through my mind, because I was already praying over these readings, already, you know, praying, you know, Lord, what direction to preach on, like, what do you want us to hear from you? And that was it. Like, how many lives are going to end before they ever really even got going, because we weren't willing to put our heart into it? Like, you were made to put your heart into everything. You are not made to go through life loving your spouse, going to work, loving your neighbor, praying, all of that. You weren't made to go through that and to say when it's all said and done, yeah, I never really had my heart in it. That's what makes death so sad, is when it's preceded by a life that was never lived. So to bring it back to the first reading here, Moses says to God's people, to us, I've set before you today life and death. Like, it really is, ultimately, it's that stark. But it's not about just living out the law to make it count. It's about going deep in the heart and living this stuff out passionately from the heart. It's what we were made for. But let me get practical as I end it here. Just from the Lord's own word, some practical areas, and I'll just throw these out, and you with the Lord, you need to ask him which of these areas the baby step is first got to be taken. But living from the heart, investing ourselves passionately in how we love God and neighbor, strikes all of these areas. It has to do with the way that we love. To just do the bare minimum, or to really love our neighbor from our heart. It has to do with the way that we forgive other people. Later in Matthew's gospel, Jesus says at the end of the parable of the unforgiving servant, who ends up getting thrown in jail till he pays off every last penny, the Lord says, so will it be with you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. So forgiveness is not a matter of just saying external words, but from the heart. It has to do with the way that we pray. We talked about that already. Not just saying words, but connecting with God heart to heart. It has to do with the way that we're faithful to our spouse. And it has to do with the way that we speak. At the end of the gospel today, Jesus says, don't go through all the motions of swearing an oath to let people know that you really mean it this time. Just live life this way. Let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. Anything else is from the evil one. Like, even the way that we speak has got to be born out of our heart. So out of those five areas, the way that you love, forgive, pray, are faithful to your spouse, and the way that you speak, which of those is the area where the Lord is saying, here's where I want you to start? He wants to make it clear, and you probably already know, even as I step through those, this is big stuff, and the Lord is not afraid to put a problem before us. Unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Live it from the heart. So, Lord, where is that first place that you need us to take a baby step out and dig into our heart and let the way that we're living, the way that we're loving you and loving our neighbor, really need to come from the depths of our heart?